Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon and give us a call. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you here this afternoon. And hope you're still there after all the wind last night. Still pretty breezy out there. If you're out on the highway, you know, keep a good grip on the steering wheel. It's still breezy in spots here in northeastern Ohio. Well, we're going to go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on the air again this afternoon. Just bless, watch over us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to use this medium, the radio, to be able to reach out to people. We do pray that we be a blessing, encouragement to somebody here this afternoon. Father, I just ask that you would bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to point people to Christ, help us to through the scripture and what the Bible has to say, be able to show that it's reasonable to believe in God. It's reasonable to believe the written record that you've given us in your word. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to talk with you this afternoon. Of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us there. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in northern Summit County, there, Richfield, right where the Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike, which is Interstate 80, meet right there. And we'd love to have you visit with us. We have a Bible study there tonight. Some of that information will be given at the end of the program, as well as services there Sunday. The Bible study tonight's at 7 o'clock, 7 till 9. It's an informal Bible study. And then, of course, on Sunday morning, we'll be meeting there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express as well. And we meet at 10 o'clock for morning Bible study, 11 o'clock service, currently going through the book of Luke, and then our evening service at 6 o'clock there, going through the book of Jeremiah. And we certainly invite you to come out and visit us there. Of course, then we're here on the radio every Friday afternoon, 1:30 to 2, as well as Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night. So invite you to come out. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you come out and visit with us. And if we're the kind of place that you believe the Lord would have you to be, we would love to have you. And we're sort of a small church, and I always joke we're the smallest church with a radio ministry probably. It may be true, but as small as we are, we serve an awesome God. And God is bigger than the universe, so we may be small, but we're a majority with God on our side. Also want to mention coming up next week from today, Lord willing, William Federer is going to be on the radio with us here on the Friday afternoon program. And if some of you are familiar with William Federer, he is the producer of the American Minute. I'm not sure what the website is for that. It might be AmericanMinute.com, but you can just Google the term American Minute, and usually a lot of things about what's happened on this day in American history, usually highlighting our Christian heritage. And we're going to be talking about Christian soldiers of the Revolution and in honor of Veterans Day coming up, of course, on Monday, November the 11th. So that's this coming Friday, week from today at 2 o'clock, or I'm sorry, 1:30 till 2 o'clock, special guest William Federer talking about Christian soldiers of the Revolution. All right, well, I wanted to get into another subject here today. Last week, I spent some time talking about science and the Bible and how it's reasonable to believe the Bible and how true science is not in conflict with the Word of God. False science, as Paul warned Timothy about science, falsely so called, will oftentimes come in conflict with the Bible. And while the prevailing scientific opinion is wrong, they'll tell Bible believers that they're wrong. And that's what they told people when the prevailing scientific opinion was that the Earth was a flat pancake on the back of some elephants, on the back of a sea turtle swimming through the abyss of the universe. And if you didn't believe that, if you believed instead the Bible's position that the earth was a sphere hanging on nothing, then you must have been ignorant and unlearned. And now, of course, same thing applies with evolution and many other things. The scientists telling us you're ignorant and unlearned if you do not accept evolution. If you reject it, you're ignorant and unlearned. And it's kind of amazing. God puts things out there for us, I think, every once in a while to confound the scientists and confound the people who reject him. And there was a planet that they just discovered around this one star. It's a rocky planet, and it's similar in size to the Earth. Actually, it's an Earth-class planet in the sense of the size range. It's actually heavier than the Earth and a little bit bigger than the Earth, and it orbits very close to its star. In fact, I think it's actually closer in than the planet Mercury would be to our sun, and it goes around its star probably a couple of times a day compared to how long it takes us to go around our star, which is a year, and orbits very fast, and the surface is 2,000 degrees, excuse me, they believe 2,000 degrees warmer than the surface of our planet, and there's a number of things about it, and the astronomers are saying, we just can't figure out how it could have got there. It couldn't have formed there, according to the Big Bang Theory, and it couldn't have been captured by that star, according to the theory or their knowledge of physics. And what it does, it confounds them, and I think it's a testimony to the creative hand of God. And that brings me to the next question. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's because the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. We've seen that, talked about that a little bit last week. And again, I want to thank Pastor Lutz of North Coast Baptist Church for allowing me to sit in on his program from 1 to 1:30 last week. So I got to spend about an hour on this. But I wanted to move from that to another concept here talking about this. I read something this past week. And it was a guy trying to prove logically that God does not exist. Now, I'm mindful of the fact that Proverbs chapter 26 says in verses 4 and 5, verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. But the very next verse, verse number 5, says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And yeah, oftentimes, especially in our Friday night program or our Sunday night program, where we have an hour and we tend to get a lot more calls than we do on Friday afternoon due to the time. And of course, Friday afternoon people are at work. It's easier to listen and not call as much, or it's harder to call. Whereas on Sunday night, it's much easier to call. But if you do have a question concerning the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We do have the phone open right now, and glad to take your call. That's 888-677-9673. But this idea of answering not a fool versus answering a fool, it's kind of difficult sometimes to decide whether the question is foolish in the sense that it should not be answered, lest I come afoul of Proverbs 26:4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And over the years, we've been doing this for over 7 years, we've had a few questions that they just didn't bear an answer because they were foolish questions, and answering them would have basically been entering into the folly of the person asking the question, as opposed to the second verse there, Proverbs 26:5, where it says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Sometimes foolish questions have to be answered, because otherwise the person will go away saying, see, I know more than they. These people who claim to believe the Bible, they can't answer these questions. They're afraid of these questions. So sometimes what we would think is a foolish question has to be answered. And that's, always trying to make that fine line determination between whether or not we should not answer them lest we enter into their folly, or whether we should answer them so that they can't be wise in their own conceit. But here's something that I thought that I found online, and it was just some comments that I was reading through on a science-oriented site. And I understand that as an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, I'm not supposed to have an interest in science, of course. But be that as it may, this guy had what he presented was a logical refutation of the existence of God. And let me give you what he said here. He said, number one, excuse me, I had a little bit of a cough here this afternoon. He said, number one, God is the origin of all that exists. That's his first statement. Then number two, all that exists exists within space-time. Then he said, if number one and number two are true, then God is the origin of space-time. Then number four, he said, if number three is true, God cannot be within space-time. Number five, he said, if number two and number four are true, God cannot exist. Number six, his conclusion, therefore, God does not exist. And then he closes by saying, so there you have it. God is a self-refuting concept. And a lot of people commented toward this saying, oh, that it makes such great sense. Well, I'm sorry. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And, you know, you just, statements that he put here, he's actually shown himself to be a fool. And again, the Bible said in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So let's break this down a little bit. He said, God is the origin of all that exists. That's a false statement. Most people would look at that and they say, okay, if God created everything that exists, that statement makes sense. But it doesn't make sense, and here's why. God is the origin of all that exists. Wait a minute. Did God create himself? That's a good question, isn't it? No. God is eternally self-existent. He has no origin. He has no beginning. You know, you could look at that and say, well, God's his own originator. He's his own creator. No, that would also imply that he had a beginning. God has no beginning. We know from the Word of God that from everlasting to everlasting, the Bible teaches that God has always existed. God exists, so therefore he's not the origin of all that exists because he's not the originator of himself. That would imply that he had a beginning. So his first statement is a foolish statement. God is not the origin of all that exists. Now, he tries to make some definitions here, and he decided that he would define God in the broadest terms as being God is the origin of all that exists. You could say that he's the creator under that. He's the creator of all that exists, the origin of all that exists. And he believes that most people, such as myself, who accept the idea of God, would accept that statement. Again, that statement is flawed because God did not create himself. God is eternally self-existent. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's Jehovah God. He is eternally self-existent. He has always existed. There's never been a time that God did not exist, and so therefore, his first statement begs the question. And even if you don't believe in God, the internal logic of his first statement is not there. God is the origin of all that exists. Okay, then what's the origin of God? Well, he then makes a statement based on that. Number two, all that exists exists apart from or exists within space-time. Well, that again is not true. We know that God transcends space-time. God created the universe. God brought the universe, and that includes all of space and time, into existence in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God spoke, and he brought everything into existence. God exists, but the very fact that God exists outside of space-time, apart from space-time, shows biblically that number two is an incorrect statement. Even if you don't accept the idea of God, even if you're an atheist, number one is wrong because his definition of God, that he's the origin of all that exists, is wrong. And number two is also wrong when he says all that exists exists within space-time. Now remember, he's trying to prove logically that God does not exist. So he defines existence as anything within space-time, including space-time itself. But again, if God is the origin of space-time, which is what he says in this next statement, if God's the origin of all that exists and all that exists exists within space-time, then God is the origin of space-time. Well, God exists, but he exists outside of space-time, apart from space-time. So therefore, he's logically flawed from the very beginning. His definitions of God as the origin of all that exists and then existence as anything within space-time, including space-time itself, is also logically flawed because he's trying to argue that the God that created space-time doesn't exist because he doesn't exist within space-time, but God does exist within space-time, but he exists without space-time as well, according to the Bible. So, at any rate, he is logically undercutting himself here. And so then he says, if God is the origin of space-time, God cannot be within space-time. I'm sorry, if I built a house, I can enter into the house. God built the universe. He permeates the universe. There's nowhere in the universe that you can go that God is not there. The Bible says where two or three believers are meeting together, God said there he's in the midst of those believers. And we can go to church on Sunday morning and know that God is with us in our church in Richfield, Ohio. Or we could go to church at the same time in another part of the world and know that God is there in the midst of those believers that are meeting together at the same time as well. And so therefore, God can and indeed does exist within space-time. Again, this is why the Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so therefore, he says, if God's the origin of space-time, he can't exist within space-time, God cannot exist. Well, again, that's logically flawed because he could exist outside of space-time if you give the fact that if you accept that he can't exist within space-time, which is wrong anyways. But if you go with his argument, then that does not mean that God cannot exist. And therefore, his conclusion that therefore God does not exist is a false conclusion. It's based on faulty logic. It's based on flawed arguments. It's based on mutually contradicting definitions of terminology. And so he put that out there thinking, well, nobody can answer that. And I decided I should touch on that because the Bible says answer a fool according to his folly. He's a fool, the biblical definition of the term, because he says there is no God. And I'm answering him according to his folly, as the Bible says, lest he be wise in his own conceit, and also lest people think that he's scored some kind of logical coup here, proving that God does not exist. He undercuts himself at every position. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We have Nancy in Euclid giving us a call here this afternoon. And Nancy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. And by the way, I'm using my TuneIn radio app, so I can take my radio anywhere.
All right, yeah, you had mentioned that one time. And
yeah, praise the Lord. And for modern technology, it's yes. Used for the Lord, not for evil purposes. But my question today is, I had this private Facebook dialogue with my niece in California, whom I really don't talk to that much, but it's a private message, and she put a little happy message, Happy Halloween, and I said, well, I hope you have a wonderful day, and have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? So she took it very defensively, and she wrote this long letter about her Catholic upbringing, which I knew she was raised as a Catholic, and she said, Catholics are considered Christian. I'm assuming you know that.
Right.
And I just wanted to know, I did answer her, and I do have my own ideas on this, and I think they're according to the Bible, but if you could just explain your, the way you would interpret when someone says Catholics are Christians. Well, I think they're using the broad term, Christians as opposed to Jews or,
Oh, absolutely, and
you could expound on that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just a terminology. I mean, in many parts of the world, it just simply means you're not Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or something like that. Right. The idea of Catholics being Christian, it's because they talk about Christ, they follow Christ, but it's they depart from the Word of God in that their Christ sacrifice on the cross is not sufficient. Remember, Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," and the Bible says in Hebrews, it's appointed. I'm confusing with another passage here. It says that he was once offered, you know, the blood of Christ was shed to pay for our sins. But see, in the Catholic Church, they teach that his sacrifice was not sufficient. It was only sufficient to take care of your original sin. I'm sorry, we got a little cutting in here, I think. I don't know, Nancy, if you got your radio turned up or something. I think I'm hearing myself somewhere there. But that sounds better, I think, now.
Speakerphone for a minute.
Yeah, that's where I was catching that. Caught me off guard there a little bit.
Sorry.
But what I was saying is that, you know, they have this idea, you know, that you have to confess your sins on a regular basis and do all of this. And then of course, the Bible tells us that if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven and you have a home in heaven for all eternity. And when you die, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And of course, in Catholicism, you don't know that for sure. If you think that you're going to heaven, you're committing the sin of presumption.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I started to quote this earlier before we got a little off with the speakerphone there, but Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was," and here it is, "so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And in the Mass, Christ is offered repeatedly every time the Mass is given. And again, that brings up another point, because, you know, we observe what we call the Lord's Supper. We might call it communion, different things. But we follow what the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is correcting some things that they were doing in regards to the Lord's Supper. He said in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do," notice what he says here in the end of verse 24, "this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, this saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink it in remembrance of me." And then in verse 26 he says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." It's very clearly a representation. And we believe that it's a representation. It's symbolic. It shows what Christ did. The bread, the unleavened bread, shows the pure Jesus Christ without sin. Leaven, of course, being a type of sin. And then we have the cup, which is the unfermented fruit of the vine, which shows the pure blood of Christ. Fermentation, like the leavening process, is a type of sin. And the blood of Jesus was pure. And we do this as a picture of what Christ did. It's not a re-sacrifice of Christ. We're running out of time here, and Nancy, we'll have to let you go, and I apologize we didn't get to our next caller there, but let me just touch on that last thought there one time. There was a controversy a few years back over people with a allergy to gluten eating the wafer in the Catholic Church, and somebody who actually was a Catholic was talking about it and said, "Well, if it really becomes the body of Christ, why would the gluten matter?" I thought, well, that's a good thing. That came from a Catholic himself. But at any rate, we understand the bread and the juice does not change. It stays bread and juice. It's a picture. And, well, at any rate, pray for your friend. And again, thank you for listening. We're out of time here today. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may